pray, Lord, as we open your word and as we discuss a few things from on high, we pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. May we receive your word and do what you've called us to do. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. The message this morning is entitled Special Delivery. It was Christmas morning, and Johnny and his mother had just finished eating their Christmas breakfast when the doorbell rang. Johnny's mother got up from the table. She walked over to the door, and after a few moments, she called back to her son. She said, Johnny, come. It's for you. Johnny gets up from the table. He rushes over to the door, and the gentleman says, I have a special delivery for John Smith. Are you little Johnny? I am, John replied. He says, and he takes the package from the delivery man, goes to the living room floor, rips off all the wrapping, the gift wrap, and the bow, and inside he sees a shiny red car. His eyes begin to well up with tears. It's from Daddy, he cried out. You see, Johnny's father was serving overseas in the military, and this was the only thing that Johnny had ever wanted. This is the best day ever, Johnny cried out. The delivery man looked at Johnny's mother and said, you know, I've been delivering packages for 34 years, but I never get tired of making a difference. Have you ever had the opportunity to give a gift? How many of you have ever had an opportunity to give a gift to someone? You know, even as I was walking into church today just carrying this, someone came up to me and says, is that for me? Just the look on their face, the joy that comes with giving a gift. Just the other day, I did a just because gift for my wife. Get some extra points. Amen. I did a just because. And I was walking through the mall, and I was trying to find some of her favorite things to put inside of the bag. And I found a scarf that I knew that she would like. I went and I got a Chipotle gift card. I know her favorite restaurant, one of the favorite cheaper restaurants is Chipotle. And just my heart was beating inside with joy as I anticipated the look on her face as she received the gift that I was about to give to her. And children, most of all, love to receive gifts. Have you ever given a child a gift? It doesn't have to be much of anything at all, just a box of paper, and they'll just be so excited. All of us enjoy receiving a gift, specially delivered just for us. You know, perhaps the best gift giver of all time is none other than Jesus himself. Jesus' days were filled with making special deliveries in the lives of other people, as 5,000 people were hungry after listening to the messages of Jesus. Jesus takes a basket and he prays. And in that moment, Jesus especially delivers food to those who are hungry. He specially delivers forgiveness and love to a woman who was caught in the very act of sin. After Peter denies him with curses, Jesus makes it his mission to especially deliver to him restoration and hope to discouraged Peter at the edge of the river, charging him once again to feed my sheep. Jesus delivers joy. I love that picture. Jesus hand delivers joy and life again to the sisters Mary and Martha as he speaks a word and raises their brother Lazarus from the dead. Jesus could have done all of these things from heaven. He's God. He had the authority to do that. But what I love most about Jesus is that his method of choice was to deliver these things personally and with care. You know, there's many aspects about the life and the ministry of Jesus that I love, but perhaps one that intrigues me most is his birth and his upbringing. To me, it says something about Jesus. Jesus accepts his own assignment, as we heard Pastor Wright preach a few weeks back. Jesus accepts his own assignment to come down and to serve the earth, but rather than to place himself inside High Clear Castle. Anybody watch Downton Abbey? Am I the only one? Got a couple hands here. Rather than place himself inside the palace, where downstairs there's 30 plus people waiting on them hand and foot. I watched this show, Downton Abbey, and it's this wealthy family. It's on PBS. And even before they go to sleep, the maid comes and braids the lady's hair, kind of tucks them into bed at night. Jesus could have placed himself there. Jesus could have put himself inside a palace of power, inside the residential wing of the White House. Jesus could have put himself, if I were Jesus, I may have done one of these first options. Jesus could have put himself inside the gated communities of Bethesda and Chevy Chase. But divine wisdom selects for Jesus a barn, a two-bedroom home in the poor side of Langley Park. Jesus, who could afford to fly first class or in his own private plane, he chooses to walk, not using a car. He chooses to take the bus for our sake. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it says that though he was what? Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became what? That through his poverty we might become rich. The religious leaders couldn't believe that this could be the Messiah, wearing a common man's robe, wearing dirty sandals, mingling with poor people and sinners and prostitutes. They say, surely this cannot be the Messiah. Even Nathanael declares, Jesus of Nazareth, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Throughout his ministry, Jesus especially loved and cared for the poor. Jesus especially cared for the downtrodden, those who were suffering, those who were needy. Jesus identified himself with them. At every moment, he ate with them. He mingled with them. He visited them in their homes, delivering to them hope and love and healing. You know, when I was growing up, we used to play basketball. In my neighborhood, we didn't have a backboard. We just had a rim that was nailed up to a pole. Tell that I didn't grow up in Bethesda. And my hidden secret I've shared with you all many times before is that I can't play. I can't play basketball at all. I'm not coordinated, and I can't dribble for some reason. Anyway, so we were out back, and it was a lot of people were out there, and we had a new guy to the neighborhood. His name was Daryl, who later went on to play in basketball over in Europe, professional basketball in Europe. And so we were picking teams, and so they saw him. They knew all about his abilities. They said, Daryl, you be captain, and this other guy would be captain. And they said, Fred, we need you to play. And usually I would duck out. Usually, I'm not feeling well. Oh, my mom's calling. I got to go. But this time there was just enough people to have 3-on-3. And so they said, you have to play. So Daryl said, they said, you pick first. And he said, I want him. I want Fred. And I tried to say, I can't play. Please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. I remembered all the names they would call me in school. And the people would say, he's a waste of height. He's a waste of height. I said, Daryl, I'm a waste of height. Don't pick me. Please don't pick me. But he picked me first. And then the rest of the people were selected. And so as we were playing, I mean, he would pass me the ball right to me. It would slip right through my hands. You know when you're nervous and your hands are all wet? It would just slip right through my hands. He said, just stand under the net and I'll pass it to you and just lay it up. So he'd pass it to me under the net and I'd still miss. But he never got upset with me. He never put me down. He accepted me on the team, as terrible as I was. And that's the same way with Jesus. Jesus identifies himself with us. Jesus chooses to be one of us. As he's teaching the people, he says, and the crowd asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food, share it with those who are hungry. In Matthew 5:42, you should have received a handout. If not, receive it on your way out and fill in some of these answers. Matthew 5:42, Jesus says, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. to the disciples in Matthew 10. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay. Give as freely as you have received. And I love this one John 15, love one another. Jesus said, this is my command. This is what I command you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Has God loved you this morning? Has God provided for you in your life? Has God ever encouraged you when your soul was troubled? Has he given you hope when you were without hope? God so freely gives to us, and then he chooses to use us to take those gifts and to give them to our fellow brothers and sisters. You still with me? Say amen. God often chooses to use us. In prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Exodus. And I thought this was powerful to note Jesus in Exodus chapter 3. God says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. Sometimes we're tempted to think that God forgets, that God doesn't see, or that God doesn't care. But God says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people, and I have heard their cries. When we cry, God hears us. For I know their sorrows. Come now, I will send who? I will send you. And I'm sure Moses was wondering, Lord, send somebody. Why don't you just send an angel? Why don't you send somebody else to do it? But God, in his infinite wisdom, chooses to use us as agents of special delivered love to others and to one another. To do the works of Christ, the works of Jesus, Isaiah 61, to the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to do what? To preach good tidings to who? To the poor. Our theme all this year is I serve. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of God. And he has shaped each one of us to carry forth his work to the world. But as we gear up to share these gifts with the community, as we gear up to share these gifts, we must do three things first. How many things? Three things, three simple things, practical things. I want you to write them down as you go. Number one, we must allow God to open up our eyes. The reality is that we've turned a blind eye to the poor and to the needy. The truth is, we've turned an eye as Christians, as the believers of Christ, we have turned a blind eye to those who are hospitalized, to those who are imprisoned, and to those who are suffering. One writer writes, you know, it's nearly impossible to live and work in America without being confronted by the needs of the poor and the distressed. In other words, you can't drive too far and not come into contact with someone who is in need. And the truth is, we come into contact with them face to face, but in many times we have shut ourselves away from them. We don't live near them. We close up our windows and lock the doors as we drive through their neighborhoods. We've trained ourselves to tune out the sounds of their cries and their pain. We're glad those who are in prison are in prison. And we feel no burden to minister to them or to their families. We roll up the windows as we see them coming. We dismiss their signs that they write as manipulative ways to get money for drugs and alcohol. We ignore them on rainy days, below freezing winter afternoons, in the sweltering heat of the summer. And I used to do it too. When I would see them come, I used to get on my, pretend I was on a conversation on my cell phone when I'm walking through town. And I didn't want to give, I'd act as though I was talking to someone else. When you see him on the street corner at the red light, I would pull all the way over to that far lane, because by the time they would get to me, the light would be green and I would feel justified in driving off. The enemy would let me know, you give to church, you got tuition to pay for your kids, let somebody else help these people. Ellen White says it this way: they do not understand the temptations and struggles of the poor, and mercy dies out of their hearts. In costly dwellings and splendid churches and nice ties and clothes, the rich shut themselves away from the poor. The means that God has given to bless the needy is spent in pampering pride and selfishness. But what God wants us to know and to hear this morning is that Christ is hidden in the poor. Each one of them, Mother Teresa says, is Jesus in disguise. They ask him in the scripture that we read, when have we served you? When have we fed or visited or clothed you? Jesus said, whenever you do it to one of these, the least of them, whenever you do it to this lady, whenever you do it to that man on the street corner, you are doing it unto me. Jesus has identified himself with the poor. After we open our eyes through the power of the Holy Spirit, the second thing that we must allow the Lord to do as we seek to serve and use our shape and our gifts to impact the community is to remove all judgment. We're challenged in Scripture, judge not that ye be not judged. God challenges us in the Word not to cast stones, to take the plank out of our eye before attempting to take the splinter out of the eye of someone else. And before we reach out on behalf of Christ, we must relinquish our judgment of these people. Everyone suffering in the hospital did not get there because of diet. Every homeless person is not homeless because of drugs or alcohol or because they are crazy. I was talking to a homeless lady here in Tacoma Park. It was Ase and I the other day. And I said, what is your story? And she said she was working. She had an apartment and she lost her job. She was one paycheck away from being homeless. They're not all out there trying to get drugs and alcohol. They're not all crazy. Everyone in prison is not guilty. Everyone in prison does not deserve to be there. And in many times, our judgment of their cases hinders our ability to care for them and from doing, because we feel and justify in our hearts they deserve to be where they are. They deserve the situation that they are in. But we sometimes fail to remember that were it not for God's grace, we would be on that street corner too. We would be in that nursing home. If it weren't for God's grace, we would be in prison as well. And we must ask the Lord to remove these labels and these judgmental attitudes that we have about these people that Christ himself has identified with, so that he can use us and send us to help. You know, Jesus mingled with the poor. He ministered, and he did so without discrimination. Freely he gave of his grace. Freely he gave of his time and his touch to whosoever. He never questioned, what are you going to do with this $2? Go buy some drugs with it? What am I going to get in return? He simply saw the needs of the people, and the Bible said he ministered to them. David says so eloquently the prayer that many of us, including myself, have prayed and need to continue to pray. Create in me a what heart? A clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Before we serve them, this must be our prayer. After God has opened our eyes to see the plight of the poor, after he, through his grace, has removed the judgment from our eyes and from our minds, number three, God challenges us to take our gifts and to deliver Jesus. Imagine what it feels like to be rejected day after day after day. Imagine what it feels like to have flashbacks from the war, to have unhealed wounds and no health insurance. Imagine the courage it takes to draw a sign on a piece of cardboard and to stand for hours at the mercy of others who drive by with their families as you stand in the cold. Imagine what it feels like to have not been visited by anyone for years in the nursing home, as you lay in the hospital bed and cancer ravages your body. Imagine what it feels like to be locked away in prison for year after year after year. A former homeless man once wrote, he says, "As men, we are providers, but I couldn't provide. People would throw dollars out of the window to help ease their guilt, but what hurt me the most was how few people really cared." Another lady says, "The looks, the stares, they treated me as though I was an animal. I knew that I smelled. I hadn't showered in a few weeks, but I was doing the best that I could. All I needed was encouragement." Another one says, "I wasn't lazy, I wasn't a drug addict, I wasn't crazy. What most people don't understand is that no one chooses to be this way." And one story that touched my heart almost brought me to tears, she said, "One day I had a fever, chills, body aches, and barely enough strength left to carry around my bags, until a lady got out of her vehicle and began to walk my way. Before I could ask for help, she picked up my bag and paid for my meal. And for the first time in months, I had human sympathy. I heard someone calling my name. I'm still homeless, but I will never, ever forget the day that lady showered me with love. All I needed was love." As humanity stands hurting, helpless, hopeless, what an opportunity we have as the people of God to take the gifts that he has so freely given to us and to deliver a word of hope to someone who is without, to deliver some love to someone who needs it, to deliver some encouragement, to deliver some money, to deliver a coat or some resources, or just even a visit to someone else. To lift the load of humanity, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." This world is filled with darkness, and he's so freely given an abundance of gifts and light to his people. And he says, "Use that light to turn this world upside down." As receivers of the abundant grace and riches of God, what an opportunity we have to deliver Christ with love and care, with a smile and with a prayer. Ellen White, she says this as we come to a close: "The Savior has given his precious life in order to establish a church capable of caring for sorrowful, tempted souls. A company of believers may be poor, uneducated, and unknown, yet in Christ they may do a work in the home, the neighborhood, the church, and even in the regions beyond, whose results shall be as far-reaching as eternity." What an opportunity we have. Are you open to accepting this opportunity? Are you open to allowing God to use you to make a difference in the world, to deliver a gift of love to someone in need? Now, don't get me wrong. It won't always be easy. Will you encounter some rough things? Certainly you will. Is everybody out there 100% honest? Are you 100% honest? The truth is, no, they're not. But that didn't stop Jesus from caring for them. That didn't stop Jesus from pouring out mercy on them, and it should not stop us either. And the greater works that we do are when all of us grab our gifts, how God has specifically gifted us and shaped us. That's when we do greater works, when we all take what God has given us and use it for His glory, helping and giving as much as we can. I want to leave you with this final scripture found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" Jesus said, "If you believe in me, you will do the works that I am doing." Entire towns were healed. Words of hope and encouragement were given in due season. People who were infirmed were visited and comforted and prayed for, loved on and fed. And if we love Jesus, we will do the same things. And so I ask you this morning, are you open to the challenge today? Are you open to the challenge of allowing God to use you in each situation, asking yourself, Lord, what would you do in this situation? And God will let you know what needs to be done. It's not about me. I'm telling you, I've had a journey as well. But there was a lady, she's out there again, she's homeless. And I walked up to her and I gave her a hug and she just didn't want to let go of me. And as I was asking her and talking to her, she said, "Go, get out of here. It's cold outside." She was showing care for me. And I said, "If you can stand out here, surely I can stand out here." What a difference we can make. How many lives can we turn around as we specially deliver love to the people around us in our community? I visited a guy in prison not too long ago, the correctional facility. And they rang this bell, and all these men came out, and there was mothers and children, just families waiting to look at their loved one, their husband, their father, through a glass for 1 hour, two visits a week. And as the bell rang for them, for the time to be up, and the children were crying because they had to watch their loved one go away, I asked myself the question, who's comforting these families? Who's praying for them? What about those who don't get visits, who are locked away? There's a lady in the nursing home even now who is filled with cancer. And I went to see her and she just laid there. She just laid there. Jesus said there's work to do. There's work for us to do. If you don't have money, that's okay. Just go give a word of encouragement. If you don't have one thing, give another. He doesn't expect you to give what you don't have. But give that which you do have. And I promise you, as you give, He will continue to supply so that you can be used to make a difference. I want to ask you to stand with me where you are. No special appeals more than I've already given. But I just want to pray that God's Holy Spirit, it is only the Holy Spirit of God that can melt our hearts and cause us to love as Christ loved. And I want to pray that His Spirit will fall afresh on us today. I want us to be known in this community, not by what we know, but by who we know. I want the mayor and the fire department and the police chief, everyone in this town to know those are the people that love. Those are the people that care. To this end, let us pray, Lord, what an opportunity we have to be used by you. Again, we don't deserve to be used. We are as sinful may be. But in divine wisdom, you see fit to use us as broken vessels to minister to other broken vessels. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that your sweet Holy Spirit will break up
the fallow ground of our hearts, the hardness in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes to see and have a sensitivity to the needs and the sufferings of the poor unlike we've ever had before. May, when we're tempted to judge, we see ourselves in need of a Savior. Withhold that judgment and go with all of our might to extend gifts of mercy and grace to those who are in need. Lord, we know that your coming is soon, and you want to come even sooner. But before you can come, your church must wake up and be about your service. And so, Lord, as a church, we want to respond to your command to go love as you have loved, to serve as you have served. And we ask now, even as I close this prayer, that your Holy Spirit will just permeate through each and every heart. Thank you for Jesus accepting the assignment to serve, and may we now do as he has done for us. We thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please remain standing for our song.
The song says, "We are his hands to touch the world around us. We are his feet to go where he may lead." It's a song many of us learned from long ago, and I pray that I invite you to sing it with us this morning in response to this message. We are. All together. We are his hands. We are his hands to touch the world around us. We are his feet to go where he may lead. And we are his love. Burning in the darkness, we are his love, shining in the night. We are his eyes. To see that need in others, we are his voice to tell of his return, and we are his love burning in the darkness. We are his love shining in the night. And we are his love. And we are his love burning in the darkness. We are his love shining in the night. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.